I began my business in a whirl of enthusiasm and excitement just a year ago, firmly believing it would be successful. Not only would it be successful as a standalone business, it would be a huge employment generator. Everyone I knew would be good for a job in the business I called Good Vibrations. My vision was to create numerous similar businesses throughout the country. It wasn't a get-rich-quick scheme for me alone. I believed it was a way I could help to spread the wealth around, to create a decent income and a good work-life balance for anybody who came on board with me. It also had the potential to enable people to live healthier, less obese lives in modern Ireland. For me, all I wanted was an adequate income to pay my way and have the odd holiday, certainly not an extravagant lifestyle. Extravagant living had never been my way up till now, so it wasn't as if I'd be missing out on anything. I'd already started to downsize, giving much of my bric-a-brac and unwanted clothes and clutter to charity shops. I had started to prepare for the next phase of my life, one that was to involve volunteering in the developing world over the coming few years. I didn't need things, I decided, as I cleared out room after room. About this time, the idea for my fitness and well-being business hit, and I felt compelled to go for it, using money from a credit union loan I had just taken out to fix up my problem bathroom. Now, a year later, the bathroom is worse than ever. I have borrowed more money from the credit union to put into the business, and on top of that, I have other borrowings from friends and family. Business acquaintances and even the media keep saying a business that gets itself through or starts up during an economic recession will do really well once the recession is over. But the question I want an answer to right now is, when will the recession be over? The truth is, no one can foretell the future, so I have to make my decision all alone and do what is best for me in the moment. And truthfully, it looks like the dole queue is the only answer for now. It was time for me to wake up and face the music. For Good Vibrations, the end was nigh. To be honest, the end was coming for a long time, but I didn't want to admit it to myself or to anyone else for that matter. I had invested not only huge amounts of money to launch my exciting fitness business, but also huge amounts of time. I was working flat out 24/7 to get the business up and running for over a year now. 1 year on, and with Christmas just around the corner, I had nothing to look forward to except the ever-lengthening dole queues. Luckily, I am entitled to Job Seeker's Benefit, only because of contributions I made while in paid employment in 2007. Paid employment, that makes me laugh. What the authorities mean when they say paid employment is employment that pays pay-related social insurance, PRSI. Okay, so it's not really that funny, because when I think it over, I see that in fact they are right to call it paid employment, because for most of the past year, I haven't received any pay from my business. I have hardly been able to keep afloat, for God's sake. Running a business should be nicknamed paying to be employed, because that's exactly what I was doing. I was subsidising the business to keep myself in work. How stupid is that? Now I faced a huge dilemma. Should I carry on as I am in the hope that the beginning of 2010 will be financially brighter as people resolve to get fit, slim down and take care of themselves in the new year? Or should I cut my losses and get out now? January will be busy. Everyone assures me of this. Everyone knows Weight Watchers and other slimming clubs are busiest after the Christmas indulgences. That's true. But what happens in February, March, etc.? Last week I took in €39. Can I afford to live like this? Forget it. That's not even a rhetorical question. It's a complete no-brainer, as they say. I have no choice. I have to sign on the dole. I am at my wit's end. Have been for the past 6 months at least. Bills are mounting up, suppliers are looking for payment, salaries are overdue and VAT man has to be paid. And unfortunately, I can't go to NAMA, that's the National Asset Management Agency, to bail me out. I will have to pay back what I borrowed, pay all my debtors and do whatever is necessary to clear the bills. It may even mean I'll have to sell our family home. For the moment though, I have decided to deal with only one problem at a time. So today I have decided to go to social welfare to find out if I qualify for Job Seeker's Benefit. 2 years ago, I would never have expected to be where I am now. I had started to make plans that would assist in my dream of working in the developing world for a time, interspersed with some cheap travel, backpacking to be precise, to the far-flung areas of the world. Had I followed through on those plans, now I'd be thousands of miles away from the dreary November 2009 Irish weather, this flood-stricken country and the dismal economic outlook. Perhaps I'd be teaching English in Greece, Ecuador or Cambodia, and looking forward to Christmas on a sun-drenched beach in an idyllic location, instead of having to join the thousands of others who have already queued in the rain week in and week out this year for a handout from the state. And what a paltry handout it would be. €196 to live on for a week, I realised, having searched through the government websites to find out. How would I manage on that? My outgoings each week amounted to over €500. This just barely covered essential living expenses and my loans, which had already been renegotiated with the bank and credit union. There was nothing in there for clothes, entertainment or a social life. Nothing new there, I said to myself. I hadn't bought a stitch of clothes for myself in the past year. I'd had no social life or entertainment to speak of, so there was nothing I could cut there. I hadn't the money to buy clothes, as every penny I made went straight back into the business, and there was no time or energy for social life or entertainment, as I worked every hour God sent, weekends included. Any time I had free was used to catch up on sleep. Adding it up again was not going to change a thing. How many times had I done that in the past 12 months? I knew exactly how much I needed to pay out each week. There was only one thing to do. I'd have to cut my expenses. First to get the chop would be my contribution to VHI and life and home insurance. Along with them would go the internet and phone. I'd just make do with my mobile. In order to save on my heating and electricity costs, I reckoned I might manage to buy a cup of tea in a coffee shop a couple of times a week. Perhaps I could sit there a while and read a book and keep warm for an hour or so, and save putting on my own heat. This would also serve to get me out of the house and give me the opportunity to read the daily newspaper and look for a job. But that could cost up to €10 a week. Could I afford it? I reckoned I'd have to allow myself that one indulgence to keep me sane, if nothing else. It might help me to feel I belong to the human race and give me the semblance of a social life. Sitting among other people would help me feel less isolated and more sociable, I reasoned. Would I be able to keep my car? The insurance was due for renewal, along with the car tax, in early January. The exhaust had been falling off for the best part of a month already, but I hadn't got the €140 quoted to buy the new part needed. And on top of that, I had to consider how much it costs to fuel it each week. I could opt for buses, I suppose. There isn't a bad service from Clane to the city. But getting up to see Mam would pose problems. I'll have to weigh it all up before deciding what to do. Mam was getting on in years, going to be 88 on her next birthday. I like to keep an eye on her, but a round trip of 4 hours by bus would be an impossible task in an emergency. By car, the journey only takes 20 minutes. Doing my sums again for the 100th time, I could see that by cutting the VHI, insurances and contribution to my personal pension plan, my PRSA, and reducing my outgoings on electricity, the phone and my weekly shopping, and doing away with the car, cable TV and TV licence, I could reduce my weekly expenditure to approximately €150 per week. But this made no allowances for the loan repayments, which amounted to another €148 after being rescheduled. So how on earth would I manage? The only solution was to cut out going to the supermarket. Sarah, my daughter, comes home from college each week and depends on having a full shopping bag to take back with her to keep her going in food for the week ahead. That would have to stop. She would just have to manage on what she earned at the local supermarket, along with the student grant she hoped to receive. It still hadn't been processed and half the college year was nearly over. Doing my sums this time paid off because now I could see where I was wasting so much money. The realisation hit me like a brick. All I had to do was cut all the extras I was spending money on, like personal insurance, TV licence and my 1999 banger of a car. If I cut these, and of course stopped eating, I would save enough to pay my way out of my €196 dole money per week. That's if I qualify for job seekers benefit at all. Actually, if I do this, I'll have €2 for myself each week to spend on luxuries. How very fortunate I am. What hit me harder, like a bloody ton of bricks, was that this is what I had now been reduced to at a time in my life when ageism would play a huge part in my ability to secure any kind of job, regardless of qualifications or skills attained in the course of a lifetime. Again, how very fortunate I am. I had worked hard all my life in paid employment and I had been self-employed on a number of occasions. I tried my hand at many things while also raising my two children. No one could accuse me of not wanting to work. Resourceful is my middle name, so whatever anyone wished to call me or accuse me of, they couldn't say I was lazy, I reassured myself. I consider myself to be flexible, adaptable, organised, efficient and capable. And this has been attested to by some of my former employers, many of whom have called me back for contract work after I have left their employment. I know this is true, but it might not be so easy to convince any prospective employer, especially not when so many qualified younger graduates are also unemployed. On leaving school, I went into a good, steady, permanent, pensionable job. I was set up for life, or so it seemed. But I wasn't happy in my work. It didn't suit me. I didn't like who I was while working there. Although the job was well paid and I couldn't be sacked no matter how badly I might have performed on the job, my conscience played havoc with my mind and emotions, and in the end, after giving it my best effort for far too many years, I handed in my notice and went on to find my own way in the world, despite the difficulties that decision posed for me and my family, financially and otherwise. Peace of mind and integrity of spirit are always more important to me than a decent salary. This is what galls me in the current climate in Ireland. Nobody seems to have that integrity of spirit anymore. Everyone is out for themselves despite references to the common good by politicians and others in authority. In March 2009, I submitted a letter to the newspaper, The Irish Independent, outlining my abhorrence with the current political situation, which I entitled Tough Justice.